First Baptist Church of Redmond, November 1st, 2015. Hear my cry.
Please join me in a responsive reading of Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3. To the chief musician on a stringed instrument, a psalm of David, hear my cry, O God.
Attend to my prayer.
From the end of the earth I will cry to you, when my heart is overwhelmed.
Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Thank you. You may be seated.
Hear my cry. That's the phrase from Psalm 61 we're looking at today as we introduce that theme of the persecuted church. And this is something that is easy for us not to consider, not to think of, to easily forget, because you can't put yourself in that position. For example, sometimes when you read about someone who has an incredible skill or talent, or that God has blessed with something that really is amazing, or when you look at athletes who will receive, and I'll say the phrase is generational money. When someone receives $20 million for playing a sport, that's generational money. They, their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, their lives will be affected forever by what has happened to them. It's easy for us to not remember that there are people whose day-to-day existence around the world is influenced by their relationship with Jesus, and more so today, here for you and for I, this is the case, where our relationship with God can influence so many things, because the world is not your friend. The world is your mission field. The world is a place where you live your testimony, where you act with salt and light. But the world is not your friend. You might look at things and try to make some relief. I couldn't repair your brakes, so I made your horn louder. So, ha-ha, cute. Sometimes you just have to deal with things and live through them. That's the point of that. But for so many situations, even living through it is physically demanding, personally demanding stress. There's a lot of stress that can come up with a lot of different things in life. But today we're focusing on the stress that comes just from being a follower of Jesus. Psalm 61 is probably one of David's prayers he wrote and had sung for worship on many different occasions. We're not really sure when that was the occasion of this. A lot of people who write on this will say this reflects his emotions and feelings that he experienced when Absalom kicked him out of Jerusalem. And David was laughed at, mocked, and like any politician who is not on top for the day, people let them know what they think. It's very possible, you know, we don't really know for sure. We're not really sure what the point is when this was written. But the issue of this psalm is David, and again, David wrote this psalm, I believe, to express his feelings. Hear my cry, O God. What we do know is that David's words to God were direct and strong. And let me talk about, we always joke and say it's good to be king, or it's good to be rich, it's good to be president. But we can forget that even the king will find that he can't have all things go his way. He can't snap his fingers and have everything resolved the way he desires. Here, David was overwhelmed by what was happening and fainting under the pressure. When it says from the end of the earth, you know, it's not really at the end of the earth, but he felt that way. He felt that he was alone and distant. He was away. If this was something connected with Absalom, and I'm going to treat it that way because that fits his emotional feeling. In this psalm, he was away from home, wherever that was. And he was away from the place he normally worshiped God. He needed to feel God's presence during what was happening to him. And as so often is the case, if you're upset with somebody in your family, upset with a child, upset with a spouse, upset with a parent, upset with some other relative, and you've been friends for a period of time, sometimes that momentary anger can possess you and cause you to forget everything about them. But David takes a moment and reminds himself, why is he where he is? And why is he praying to God to begin with? You have been a shelter for me. This is some of the theme background of the songs that Barbara picked for today. God's had to help him before. From when he was a child putting up with six older brothers. Amen. The youngest that probably did all the dirty work, go do this for me now or I'll smack you one. Because remember, David was not the tallest of his family. God has had to help him before. He has needed shelter from God in the past to keep him alive. And so far, God has been with him. But he continues to need God's help. He's been protected from his enemies in the past. But this is another new challenge for he, his people, to have to deal with. You can rely on God, think about God, trust in God. But just as our strength is renewed every day, oftentimes is the occasion to need to use it. Glad you had, hopefully, a good day yesterday, a positive day yesterday. God was with you yesterday. But today is a new day. It's a day of new grace from God. Great is thy faithfulness, the man writes in Lamentations. But that's because we need God's grace renewed every day. Today I need God to help me. Today I need God to go with me. Today I need God to strengthen me. Because of our theme, we're going to watch something. This is available for you to take home. This is a dramatized, it's 5 minutes long, presentation of a testimony of a man who was witnessing to his Hindu friends and relatives in a village, how he was treated, and the outcome of his testimony. These are this and some of these other things. These are real events. In this case, it has been dramatized. And the other ones that we've got out there, please feel free, like I said, take anything you'd like to look at. Show it to your friends. You can get these from Voice of the Martyrs. The things I have, Voice of the Martyrs has the best little materials I can obtain, so that's where we get them from. You're going to see how he was treated in a dramatic way, and you're going to see the outcome of his testimony. There was a man who was a member of an extremist Hindu group that targeted Christians. And this young man came to witness. He says, "We don't want to hear about your Jesus." This is dramatically presented, what we're going to see. And Voice of the Martyrs, this is their International Day of Prayer video. This is on their webpage for you to watch. You can download it, as I have, for free. They'll send you these discs, I think, for just the cost of postage. But consider what other people do. What you're going to see here is a dramatized testimony of real individuals.
Om Mangalam Bhagavan Vishwam Mangalam Karadaya.
Today we are celebrating the engagement of a young couple in our village. That is until this Christian returned. 4 days ago he came into our village trying to convert us, telling everyone about his Jesus. We warned him not to come back, yet here he is.
हमारे गांव में नहीं आएंगे क्यों आ गया
मैं समझ
ये बताता भाई यहां हिंदू का गांव है हिंदू का प्रचार होता है ये नहीं आएंगे
हमने आदित्य ऋषि जी के बारे में कौन बताया
और अगर आएगा फिर आपको हमें देखा अच्छा नहीं होगा हमसे पूरा कोई नहीं होगा उनका गांव है आप यहां कोई प्रचार नहीं करेंगे नहीं करेंगे नहीं करेंगे
कई बार मना किया हमने कि प्रभु यीशु का प्रचार हमारे गांव में ना करे लेकिन वो मना करने के बाद भी नहीं माना और हमने उसको बहुत मार दिया यह हमें नहीं मालूम हो रहा है कि वो जीवित है या कि मर चुका है।
तो आप जाइए उसको देखिए, उठिए ना, उठिए जाइए। आप ऐसा काम क्यों किया?
हम लोग इनके साथ क्या करेंगे?
अगर इसका परमेश्वर सच्चा है तो इसकी मदद अवश्य करेगा और हम इसे जाने देंगे।
Suta did recover, and 4 days after leaving our village, he came back again. Now my wife and I follow Jesus, and Suta is our pastor.
Here's that church footage from
when you pray for the persecuted, please remember to also pray for those who persecute. For us, it may be the only way we will see the love of God.
Today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Around the world, there are many people who do amazing things. And as I've commented earlier today, the number one thing that people request, how people can help them, is pray for us. You will see people around the world trusting Christ and following Him in believers' baptism. We're challenged to pray for Christians around the world imprisoned for their faith. Pray that God would strengthen, protect, and encourage them. A concrete way for you is to take one of those things home, write a guy a letter, and mail it to them. And perhaps they'll get it in 6-8 months, maybe a year, who knows. We're challenged to be people who help encourage and lift up those who will be spreading the gospel to young people who would normally have had no experience with it. Pray for God's protection over people who are spreading the gospel now. Because there are many restricted and hostile nations where if they know you're a Christian, your life will be very, very different. There's many different ways that people try to reach out and help people who now know the gospel, but because the gospel changes their lives, they now seek to do things more positive with their life to influence and to help others. Pray for God's provision and encouragement for families who have been killed for living out their faith in Jesus. If you go to, again, I talk about persecution.com, Voice of the Martyrs website, they have things that you can participate in, and for $30, send a package to someone. They handle the distribution because the names are dangerous to release to the public. They will give things to people whose, again, families have been killed or imprisoned and have great need. There's many, many different ways that people will work hard to take the gospel. Sometimes we think that, well, that doesn't really happen anymore. But no, these are pictures sent to and then distributed from Voice of the Martyrs to show what people do around the world to reach villages. Because a lot of the world still does not have the transportation system that we do. Pray for government officials in hostile and restricted nations that they will come to know Christ personally and follow His will for their lives. In the New Testament, sometimes you'll see the comment about how Paul would go out and evangelize and God would choose to save some of the not just down and outers, but up and outers, people who could make a difference in life. This person's face is masked because they're still in a dangerous country. And that's the best they could do to try and immerse him in that country. Pray for new believers in the Muslim world who are deciding when and how to tell family and followers that they are not followers of Jesus because they could lose their lives by sharing that information. Pray for radio, television, internet ministry, sending God's word over and through closed borders. Pray the Holy Spirit will bring much fruit for their work. Children are always open for the gospel. Jesus said, don't keep the kids away from me. Have the little children come and hear and be exposed to my truth. Pray for the provision and safe delivery of Bibles to believers in hostile and restricted nations. A lot of countries, particularly in Southeast Asia, they don't have access to Scripture like you and I do. And there's a man on the street. This is a real evangelist out there spreading the gospel. His face is covered to keep him safer. Pray God will enable persecuted Christians to witness for him, even to witness to their persecutors. Pray Christians in free nations, that's us, will understand the fellowship of suffering and choose to stand with and support persecuted brothers and sisters. I Commit to Pray is a source where you can find guidelines, prayer sheets, things like you have copied off there in your bulletin insert, but other pieces of information where you can be aware. Georgie Vinn's very popular. I've never heard him speak, but I've been around places where he did. It makes a difference to have people pray for you, to know that you're not alone. Years ago, I used to be in a group of people that prayed for people in the former Soviet Union who had been imprisoned in gulag-type environments. At one time, I pulled out some old booklets and showed Vladimir here my Russian support group that we used to pray for people. They had pictures of pastors that had been arrested. And the proverbial, they were in Siberia for what they had done. For us, three things. Pray. When asked what we can do, persecuted believers always ask for prayer first. Pray for them. Second, help. There are ways that you can help people. At the very least, you'll see some people that you know that will be out witnessing or talking for Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. This morning, Daniel and I were out getting coffee, and bless our hearts, this is the first time I've ever seen this. The lady ahead of us at Starbucks, oh, how are you? Blah, blah. Oh, I'm on my way to church. I stopped for coffee. Oh, we're going to church in a little bit too. We've stopped here for coffee, and we chatted for just a minute until it was time for me to order. But don't be ashamed to tell people that you know Jesus, you're trying to honor him, you live for him, and then find some. There are some things that they will suggest Voice of the Martyrs is a very, very good resource for where even a few dollars will make a difference in somebody's life. And then speak. Stand for the gospel and spread it personally. We are in the era where it is now uncomfortable to be a Christian in the public setting. I feel for people because I always remind people. I remind people of this. This is a very simple thing that I say. And I'm saying this because if you ever thought, what do I say? People will say we are in a country that does not have an official religion. So we should actually have a religion-free society. That was the intent of the foundation of our country. And I have two remarks for that. Both of these are accurate and you can research them. And I have materials in my office to prove them to you. Number one, Thomas Jefferson, who was so often quoted as being an anti-supernaturalist, which he was, but the last 7 out of the 8 years he spent as president of the United States, he went to church every Sunday. Matter of fact, when he wrote that famous letter that is distributed with the comment separation of church and state to the Danville Baptist Church case, realizing the influence that he had as president starting this. He wrote that letter on a Friday. It was delivered on a Monday. The intervening Sunday was the first Sunday he went to church and made it a purpose to be seen going to church every Sunday for the next 7 years of his presidency because he did not want to be divisive. Second, people who say that the intent of our government was to be a religion-free society are people who have never read a book about the past. Because, interesting, the United States Congress opens every day with prayer from a chaplain. And that the United States Congress, when people say you can't use a public school for a church, up until just before the Civil War in the 1850s, there were church services held in the Capitol building every Sunday. The United States Capitol building every Sunday was host to a Christian church service. So the people who were adjudicating these laws, processing these laws, and were elected as the first ones to carry out these laws, made sure that there was a chaplain, in many cases a salaried chaplain, available for every meeting of Congress. And every Sunday made sure that church took place in the Capitol Rotunda. So if people say there was never the intent, they'll say, why did they make sure that they didn't do anything without praying? And even Benjamin Franklin, who was not necessarily a religious man, during the days of the Continental Congress in the late 1770s, 1774, 1775, made sure that they began their meetings. It was his suggestion that the meetings of the Continental Congress open by asking for God's help. He's the one who made sure that they prayed at the beginning of the sessions. If you read his life, he was not a moral man. But he made sure that they prayed before their meetings began. So the intent of our founding fathers was clearly not to exclude religious practices, either at the beginning of public meetings, secular political meetings, or after football games. God's intent is for us to listen to him, to talk to him, and to follow him. And the intent of the framers of our nation was to not disclude, but to be certain to go out of their way to include God, addressing God, humility. And remember, it was President Lincoln during the Civil War, 1863, who in the spring, around Easter time, proclaimed a national day of fasting among the Union states to ask for God's help, protection, and provision. So remember, you have every right to do what you'd like to do. You can carry your Bible, you can pray. I told you before, a watershed event in my life was when I was in my late teens, and I started not being ashamed to pray at a public restaurant when I would go out to lunch. And that seemed simple, but to sit down, put your head down and pray, and then eat your food when it's just you, I felt really embarrassed. But I got over that. But essentially the things we're ashamed to do. But speaking out for Jesus, talking about him, picked up pizza yesterday, gave him one of the bird in the hand, little cards. Oh, hey, these are kind of great. Look at the message on the back. It has something that's very easily missed. God wants us to evangelize. That's the Great Commission. God wants us to live for him and speak out for him. God says you're salt and light, but if all of a sudden we don't do anything, what are we good for? Nothing but to be cast out and let somebody else do it. So God wants us to do his task for us. And standing with the gospel is incredibly important. People who go through these experiences have the habit of giving praise and thanks. And for us, in life stresses, we need to remember that God is the one who is on the throne, even though we can't explain or see or understand what's going on. And we need to be people who ourselves have the habit of giving God praise and thanks. For whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, his grace is supposed to be sufficient for us. Let's pray. God, help us, we pray, to turn to you and to live for you even courageously today when we don't have to. Father, we're lulled to sleep. We ignore, we're unaware, and like a slumbering person, when the world pokes us and wakes us up, we're in shock because we've been sleeping. As your word says, awake, sleeper, and rise to life. Help us to rise up to the call you give us, to not just have fellowship, but also to spread your words and to live for you and to speak for you. Help us to not be ashamed. And help us to encourage those that are in stress. Help us to consider those that have been so bold that they suffer for their testimony. Bless us, we pray. Help us to honor you. Help us as we go throughout this week to not forget to speak for you. In Jesus' name, everybody said,